Well, Romans chapter 5 is just such a pivotal chapter following these first four chapters that are all about justification by faith. What Paul is doing is he's sharing with us all of the additional blessings of those that have been justified by faith. So we're assuming here that we understand what it means. I'll just read Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Having been justified by faith. The idea is that your faith is in Christ, that you have repented of your sin, that you believe that Jesus, God in the flesh, went to a cross, died in your place, took the wrath that you deserve. And because of your faith in Christ, nothing you've done, but just what Christ has done, you've been declared righteous. You've been justified. That's the gospel that we love. And that's the gospel that Paul's been writing about for four chapters. So in Romans 5, he's sharing additional blessings. I begin with an introduction that I've been using the last couple of weeks. It was 35 years ago that Nancy and I moved to South Carolina so I could attend seminary. And once we were here, we found out there's all these additional blessings. We found out how beautiful the Blue Ridge Mountains are and the Blue Ridge Parkway, how beautiful the weather is, at least compared to Ohio, where we're both from. How wonderful it is now that we have a nice ball field downtown, Fluor Field. Last time I mentioned Falls Park and just the beauty of going downtown and walking around and enjoying that. Even yet another blessing of living here in the Piedmont area has been the Swamp Rabbit Trail. And whether you ride fast, as pictured there, or whether you want to just go for a leisurely ride, as pictured there, the Swamp Rabbit Trail is just a wonderful place to walk, to ride a bike. It's just about 20 miles long, going from TR all the way down into the heart of Greenville. How many of you have been on the Swamp Rabbit Trail? And if you haven't, I hope you'll get there sometime. Now, I use that as an illustration. It's not why we came to Greenville. But once we came into this area, we found out there's all of these additional blessings. And that's what Paul's doing in Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, we looked at the first blessing of justification. We're at peace with God, verse 1. We're no longer God's enemies. And again, I'll say it yet again. A lot of people would say, Greg, I've never been the enemy of God. I've never declared him my enemy. I understand that, but he declared you his enemy. And every single person who's a sinner is declared by God to be his enemy because God's a holy God. But if you're justified by faith, God's not your enemy anymore, and you're at peace with God. And it's even more than that, because verse 2, we saw that we stand in the grace of God, through whom, verse 2, we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. So it's much more than just God's not mad at me anymore, but now I have access to God. I've been introduced to God. I stand in this grace. And we went on to verses 2, 3, and 4, talking about how we have hope in the glory of God. Verse 2 goes on at the end, we exult in hope of the glory of God. And verse 3, yes, there's tribulations in this world, but we exult in our tribulations. Why? Because verse 3, the tribulation brings about the perseverance that leads to the character that brings us right back to the hope that one day Christ is coming back and everything's going to be perfect and we're going to be like Christ. And if that's not enough, then we covered last week, verses 5 through 8, some of the most, I think, heartwarming verses in the chapter. That we are loved by God, that hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And then talking about verse 6, while we were helpless, while we were, verse 6, ungodly, God died for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes us right through Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Today we're going to be looking at two verses. I called the message, We Shall Be Saved. We'll be focusing on Romans chapter 5. Verse 9 and verse 10. And our first point that we'll want to see from our verse 9, is that the Christ who justified us shall save us from God's wrath. I read here verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. And you might be thinking, Greg, I believe in Jesus. I've already been saved. Isn't that true? Well, let's just go a little bit farther in the passage and let's look at what Paul says. First of all, Paul makes the point that he's talking to people that we have been justified by Christ. Notice again, verse 9, much more than having now been justified by His blood. As we've learned in Romans, this wonderful letter, justified means to be declared righteous. And the tense of the verb means it happened at a specific point in time. You don't become a Christian gradually over time. Now, you may have become aware of the gospel gradually over time. But if you're a Christian, there was a point of time where God declared you righteous. Okay? That's what Paul's talking about. Another way of saying it, verse 9, is you were justified. That goes back, of course, to verse 1, having been justified by faith. So verse 9 says much more than having now been justified or declared righteous. How? By His blood, which, of course, is a reference to the shed blood of Christ. It's a reference to Christ going to the cross. Right? In the Old Testament, they were always sacrificing animals. I mean, all the time, and it never stopped. And we don't do that anymore because all of those sacrifices were just pictures. They didn't do anything. That no one was forgiven of their sin because of Old Testament sacrifice. You say, Greg, how do you know that? Just read Hebrews. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But they were pictures of Jesus one day is going to come and He's going to die. And His shed blood is the vehicle by which we are justified. That's what Paul is helping us to understand. Many, many wonderful texts about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I just hit a couple that came to my mind, Ephesians 1:7. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. It's through the shed blood of Christ. How about 1 Peter 1:18 and 19? We're studying 1 Peter in the evening. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And then there's Revelation 5:9, looking forward to that day where it says they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, singing to Christ, for you were slain. And purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And that's exactly what the sacrifice of Christ has done. It has purchased for Himself a people. And we are part of that people, and you're part of that group, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, notice what it says here in Romans 5. I want to point out the first couple of words in verse 9. Much more than. This is what we call an argument from the greater to the lesser. Paul is saying much more than. It's the idea that if we have put our faith in Christ and we were justified, then much more than. We can certainly be confident of what? Verse 9, Romans 5. Having now been justified by His blood, which is huge, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. We shall be saved by Christ. Now, again, you might say, Greg, help me out now. Am I already saved or will I be saved? And the answer to that is what? Yes and yes. I'm a believer in the gospel. I'm saved. You say, well, then you're not yet saved. In another sense, I'm not yet saved. There is a future aspect to our salvation. You say, why in the world does Paul say that in verse 9? Well, notice he says, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Most people in the world don't want to think about it. No doubt many people in our world don't even believe it. But there is coming a day of judgment. There is coming a day when our holy God will pour out His righteous wrath and anger on this world. And even those who have already passed away will face Him at the great white throne judgment. And they will be judged. And it's going to be a horrible day. And people laugh and they mock and they roll their eyes. But there's coming a day where they won't. When they will see Christ Jesus the judge, the wrath of God will be poured out. This is real. And a lot of people say, Greg, don't talk about this. I like John 3:16, God so loved the world. Well, that's real too. But you can't just pick the parts of the Bible you like. The Bible tells us a little bit about what that day of wrath is going to be like. And we could spend, obviously, a long time on that. I don't want to do that. But maybe just two verses that are sobering. There's coming a day where it is said in Revelation 14, 9 to 11, this is true of those who will not put faith in Christ. What will be true of a person like that? He also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. There is coming a day of God's wrath. There is coming a day of fire. There is coming a day of brimstone. That is what the Bible says. That day is coming. We could go further in Revelation where it talks about this to come great white throne judgment, after which death and Hades, all of the people who would not believe in Christ, we're thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. You say, who's there? If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It's called a lake of fire, and it's forever, and it's eternal. And God is a righteous, holy judge, and he will show his wrath. And this day will come. You say, that bothers me a little bit, Greg, okay? Back to Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. It's an argument from the greater to the lesser. If God could take a sinner like me and declare me righteous, even though I'm not righteous, and he can do that based on Jesus Christ and his death on a cross, that's huge. Paul is saying it would be much easier to keep me from the wrath to come. Which means if you have been justified by faith, if you're a believer, you don't need to be afraid to die. You don't need to be afraid to meet Christ. Everything is going to be fine because Romans 5, 9 says, we, believers in Christ, shall be saved from the wrath to come. Much more than an argument from the greater to the lesser. I was trying to think of just an everyday simple illustration, how I could maybe help us think about that. So I'll start again with the swamp rabbit trail. Let's just pretend you wanted to go for a bike ride on the swamp rabbit trail because you had a new bike. But you live kind of far away and you didn't think you could ride your bike all that way because it might be too far. And there's a guy on your street. You really haven't met him yet, but you notice he bought a new truck. And so you say to him, you know, hey, my name's so-and-so. I never met you, but I notice you have a new truck. Can I borrow your $77,000 truck? You say, how do you know that's a $77,000? I Googled expensive truck. And this is what came up. This is a Ford F-450 Super Duty Platinum. Opening price without extras is $77,325, okay? That's more than we paid for our first house. I think that may be more we paid in a prior second house. I can't remember. Okay. Now that's a truck. So you walk up to your neighbor and you say, hey, I never met you before, but I got this new bike. Can I borrow your $77,000 Ford? And he says, sure, why not? Have fun. And you say, you know what? I noticed in your garage there's an air pump. My tires are low. Could I use your $7 air pump? And he says, no. I mean, do you think just because I let you drive my $77,000 truck that I'm going to lend you my $7 air pump? And you're going, yeah. And he says, no, I don't give this air pump just to anybody. Okay, go fill up your tires yourself. Here's the keys to my truck. Have fun. You would be saying something very weird is going on. What is that? That's an argument from the greater to the lesser. If a guy you don't even know lends you a $77,325 truck, he's going to let you borrow a $7 air pump. And if the God who justified you by faith in Christ is a God who has declared you righteous, even though you're not righteous, then that God will save you from the coming wrath. And you have nothing to fear, whether Christ comes back before you die or you die before Christ comes back. You have nothing to fear because Christ has saved you from the wrath to come. That's Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. The Christ who justified us shall save us from God's wrath. And then Paul's going to make a parallel point. Notice in verse 10, I'll read that now. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The second parallel point this morning is this. The Christ who reconciled us shall save us from God's wrath. Very parallel to the first point in verse 9. Notice verse 10, please. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. The word reconciled, different, right, than the word justified. Notice verse 5, having now been justified. But in verse 10, it's we were reconciled. The word justified is a little bit more of a courtroom term. It's God declaring you righteous. The word reconciled is a term of relationship. It's a warmer term. See, you could be declared righteous, but still not be reconciled. But if you're declared righteous and reconciled, it means more than just God's not mad at you anymore. That's justification. Reconciled means there's a change of relationship. God is now your friend. Reconciliation is when there's two people that are enemies, but through reconciliation they come together. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in verse 9. So as wonderful as justification is, Paul's making the point, verse 10, that while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. And thus we have both been justified and reconciled by Christ. Let me give you an example, illustration. Let's just say you lived in another country and you wanted to come to the United States, but you're a convicted felon. You don't qualify to come for however they do that. So you fill out the paperwork and I come to the United States and the United States government says, no, you are a criminal. And then the president or whoever basically officially writes a pardon and he declares you not guilty. That, in a sense, is kind of like justification. But you're still not in the country. The president would also have to arrange for you to get a visa so you could come and visit the country. And then you could be friends with the president, as it were. That's reconciliation. Justification is I'm no longer a criminal. Reconciliation is I'm no longer God's enemy. I'm now God's friend. That's verse 10. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? Verse 10 says, through the death of His Son. We're right back to Christ. We were reconciled by Christ. Thus, Paul makes the point, the application. We shall be saved by Christ. You see verse 10? Kind of that pivotal, much more. The much more is similar to the beginning of verse 9. Much more than. Paul is making the point that if we're reconciled, which is an incredible work of God, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. What is this? This is once again an argument from the greater to the lesser. If God could arrange for you to be His friend, He's holy, you're not, you're just like me. But if God could arrange for you to be His friend, then saving you from the coming wrath, it's not a problem. It will be taken care of. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to help us understand. The Christ who reconciled us shall save us from God's wrath. Now, I want to work through these two verses one more time. I put them up on the screen. And not that you, if you want to look at your own translation, that's fine. But I'd encourage you to look at the screen because I want to point out something going on here that I hope will bless you, even as it's blessed me this last week of meditating on it. Can I review real quick the difference between an active and a passive verb? An active verb is something I do. I'm the one who does it. A passive verb, I don't do it. It's done to me. I receive the action of the verb. I want you to think through, how am I justified? How am I reconciled? How am I saved from the wrath to come? Is it something I do? Let's read through this together. Paul writes much more. You just kind of watch. Having now been justified. That's a passive. By his blood. We shall be saved. That's a passive. From the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. That's a passive. Through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled. That's a passive. We shall be saved. That's a passive. By his life. My salvation is not rooted in anything I've done. If I get nothing else from the text, I take no credit for my salvation. I have been justified, been saved, been reconciled, been saved. Now, you might say, okay, Greg, so who is the one who's actively doing this? We know it's not us. Let's just go back through the verse and see if we find the answer. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. That's Jesus Christ. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. That's Jesus Christ. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. That's Jesus Christ. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's Jesus Christ. It's all Christ. Christ is the one who saves us. Paul is making the point that here we are. We've been justified. We've been reconciled. It's not me. It's all Christ. Which means I can be completely confident that one day when I see Christ and this world comes to an end and the wrath of God is poured out on people, I am okay. And I don't need to be afraid. You say, but Greg, what if you don't do something right? I haven't done anything right yet. My salvation is all in Christ. And the Christ who justified me, he will save me from the wrath to come. And the Christ who reconciled me will save me from the wrath to come. And beloved, you have no reason at all to fear the wrath to come. Whether that means death comes for you before Christ comes back, or whether that means the clouds pull back and the trumpet sounds and you're actually there and you see the second coming, you will be saved from the wrath to come if you've been justified by faith, if you've been reconciled to God. I want to try an illustration here. It'll be a little bit longer than I normally do, but I just want to help you to understand. I want you to rejoice in this. But my prayer for us as a congregation is that these types of gospel thoughts, these are the thoughts that get you to bed in the morning, get you out of bed in the morning, excuse me. These are the thoughts that help you sleep at night when it's hard. These are the thoughts when life's not going so well, bring peace and comfort to your soul. These are the thoughts that when a loved one whose faith is in Christ leaves this world and goes to see Christ, that everything's going to be okay. We have somebody, I don't want to embarrass anyone, we have somebody worshiping with us this morning whose spouse went home suddenly this week. You say, what do you do when that happens? It's obviously incredibly hard. But she was a believer in Christ. She had been justified she had been reconciled. And so where she's at now, she will never experience the wrath of God. She will be safe from that eschatological wrath, as we would say. How? It's all through Christ. And that's true for you if your faith is in Christ. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Let's pretend that there's an area of the beach. And near this beach area, there are really bad tides. And you're not supposed to swim. It's also a place where there are sharks. And they have signs posted. You don't swim on this beach because of sharks. And let's pretend there's a young girl. And she likes to play in the water. And she doesn't really understand everything she should. And plus, she doesn't obey her mom and dad like she should. And mom and dad have told her, honey, you never go by the beach there. It's dangerous. There are sharks. And one day, just being a little girl having fun, she starts wading in the water. And she knows she shouldn't go swimming, but she's thinking, I'm okay. And she wades into the water. And all of a sudden, a big wave comes. And it just sucks her away. And here she is, and she's in water. And now she's in trouble. And as soon as she realizes she's in trouble, she sees the fin of a shark, and it's circling her. And she's horrified because the water's over her head, a shark is circling her, and she's screaming and she's crying. Let's pretend there's a man jogging, a man named Joshua. Some of you know what that means. Let's pretend that this man named Joshua is a fit Navy SEAL. I mean, this guy's awesome. He knows how to swim. He's strong. He's buff. And he sees that little girl swimming, crying. And with no hesitation, he jumps in. And he sees the shark, but he doesn't care. And he grabs the little girl. And as soon as he grabs her, the shark comes in and attacks. And Joshua hugs her tight. And he kicks and he punches. And the shark gets teeth on him. And he's cut and he's bleeding bad. But he will not let the girl go. And suddenly he gets the girl safely back to the beach. And he's exhausted and he's bleeding and he passes out. Well, people hear the commotion. Pretty soon they bring lifeguards in. Pretty soon a helicopter lands. And quickly they take Joshua to a local medical university. And in this fictitious story, here's this brave man who for 3 days is in the hospital, verging between life and death. And he lives. And he's alive. And as you can understand, that girl with her mom and dad are so thankful that they go to visit Joshua. And they say, thank you. Thank you for saving my daughter's life. Thank you, Mr. Joshua, for saving my life. And they're so excited. And they become friends. They never even knew each other. But now they're friends. Life goes on. And that little girl has a birthday coming up. And the little girl says, Mommy, Daddy, can I invite Mr. Joshua to my birthday party? And Mom and Dad say, yeah. And they arrange it. And he, of course, wants to come. They're friends now. And it's the day of her birthday. Now here's where I'm going. And she says, Daddy, will Mr. Joshua come? And Daddy says, yeah, he'll come. He'll come. Daddy, how do you know he'll come? Daddy says, you know what, honey? There was a day when you didn't even know Mr. Joshua, and you were about to perish. And he came, and he saved you. And now you're friends. And if he says he's going to come, he's going to come. And he came. And he will come. And one day Jesus will come and make sure that you are saved from the wrath to come. And I hope the point of that story made sense. There was a time when you had no relationship with God. You were God's enemy. But you have been justified by faith through Christ, nothing you've done. You've been reconciled to God through Christ, nothing you've done. And yes, wrath is coming. And no, you don't need to be afraid of it. Because the Christ who justified you and reconciled you is the Christ who will save you from the wrath to come. Amen? That if you know the gospel, that's your hope. There's no fear. No fear in death. We don't need to be afraid if our faith is in Jesus Christ. Because the Christ who reconciled us shall save us from God's wrath. Put this all together. And what have we seen this morning? Number one, the justified shall be saved from God's wrath. I'm not telling you it's not coming. It's coming. And it's going to be worse than anyone understands. And yet if you've been justified by faith, you'll be saved from that. And then we've seen, secondly, the reconciled shall be saved from God's wrath. And again, the wrath is real and it will come. But you won't see it in the sense that you won't experience it. You will be saved how? Because the one who justifies us is the one who reconciled us. And he is the same one who will save us. And that is Jesus Christ. And so I speak to those of you who have been justified. Your faith is in Christ. You've repented of your sin. I speak to those who have been reconciled. There's coming a day where you will face death, and yet even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for Christ will be with you. And his rod and his staff, they will comfort you. And the Christ who justified you and reconciled you is not going to leave you alone in the day of wrath. In the great day of God's furious holiness being put on unbelieving people, you will be saved. And so I think of the words of the song, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final death, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. If you understand the gospel, then I pray by God's grace and for his glory that these gospel truths will anchor your soul and you will delight and rejoice in the confidence that the Christ who justified you is the Christ who reconciled you, is the Christ who will one day save you from the wrath to come. No fear of death, not for those who have their faith in Christ.